relief factor, pain relief that's natural, pain relief that works, and pain relief that attacks the source of the pain. That's the experience of tens of thousands of Americans who are taking Relief Factor right now. See their incredible video endorsements at ReliefFactor.com and then order your three-week quick starter pack for just $19.95. That's less than a dollar a day. Find out if it can work for you like it works for me by ordering your three-week quick starter pack today. ReliefFactor.com, ReliefFactor.com. Be the next success story.
This episode of the America First podcast with me, Sebastian Gorka, is brought to you by Franklin Armory. Shop freedom, quality, and innovation at franklinarmory.com. Franklin Armory, we are facilitators of freedom.
Of all the gin joints in all the towns in all the world, she walks into mine.
Impressive. Most impressive.
Seeing things group people wouldn't believe.
You want to talk to God? Let's go see him together.
Like a Cheshire cat, he's my co-host on Making Movies Great Again. I'm Sebastian Gorka, and he's Mr. Reagan, otherwise known as Chris Coles, and we're going to have a doozy for you today. Chris, did you have fun doing the laborious salt mining research for today's episode of Making Movies Great Again?
You know, as soon as you see that mountain, as soon as you see that silhouette of Indy, you have to smile. It's so great. And that music, you know, that was back in the day. We talked about this in previous episodes. But, man, back in the old days when they used to have a great music, theme music that you could hum to yourself after seeing the movie, man, it does add something magnificent that we've really lost in the modern day, you know?
All right, so we're only going to discuss the three movies that were ever made. We're going to talk about Raiders. We're going to talk about the Temple of Doom, the Dark One, when he was getting divorced or whatever. And then we're going to talk about the fun one with Sean Connery. We're going to talk about the Holy Grail because there are no other indie movies. Definitely, they're not making a new one either. You're a little younger than me. How old are you, you whippersnapper?
I'm now 43. I just turned 43.
Oh, you're such a little boy. All right. So when did the fedora enter your consciousness? Which movie was it? What are your first memories of the bullwhip and the leather jacket?
Well, I'll tell you, I tried to dress appropriately for today. when I was a boy, Indiana Jones was the movie that got me into writing screenplays, that got me into wanting to make films, really. Because I used to draw. You know, it's like some kids draw a lot. They're pretty good at drawing. I had that artistic nature. But I could never draw as well as my imagination would render images. But in making a film, you could set it up to where, yeah, you could make that image. And so I was really drawn to filmmaking. But I realized even as a little boy, I think I was like 5 or something, and I remember thinking, I want to be like Indiana Jones. I want to think the way he does, believe the things that he believes. And I thought, well, but this is something that a writer wrote.
Yeah.
So he's not really a real person. This is a writer presenting his ideas of what he thinks is true, and I shouldn't be influenced to believe those things. So, like, even as a boy, I understood the power that filmmaking had, and I thought, like, I think I'm a good person as like a little child. I was like, I think I'm a good person. I should make films so that I could influence people to be good people, right?
Yeah.
So that was actually my first inclination to make films was because of Indiana Jones and thinking about how much of an impact it had on me.
All right. Clearly, it had a massive impact on you as the spur for your career because you became a writer and an actor. Let's tackle head on the first question, get it out of the way, and then just enjoy ourselves. Over the years, even some of the people involved with the making of these movies have categorized them, Chris, as B-movies, as, you know, substandard kind of hokey fun. I think this is one of the best movies. I mean, if you have to give me the top five movies to choose, Raiders will be amongst the top five. Where does this B-movie thing come from, and isn't it unfair?
Yeah, well, it's definitely unfair, but I would say that there's a lot of different kinds of films, right? You write a film for a specific purpose, and there are some really powerful, amazing films that I will never want to see more than once. You know what I mean? Like really beautifully well-made, impressive films, but they're not fun. You know, they're not funny. They're not exciting. Watching Indiana Jones is just so much fun, especially if you haven't seen it in a while. Raiders of the Lost Ark in particular, you forget some things and you're watching it. You're thinking, man, this is just fantastic. I want to do this. I want to be on this adventure. I don't think you can make film better than that, right? To make the audience want to be doing the thing in the film that they're watching, that, yes. I mean, that's to me, that's the ultimate goal right there. If you can make them want to be in the film, then you've won.
If you want to emulate the protagonist, then the person making the movie has done their job. Even this, I mean, this moment that they're traveling, you know, to Nepal. There's no amazing special effects. I think the seaplane was, you know, filmed somewhere out in California, and then they have this. You can say it's hokey. This image of the plane moving over a map, the red line, but it's perfect. It takes you back. It's kind of a period special effects, if you will. When we think about this incredible series that is still going, we have to just address one issue. Would this still be have as engrossing, as much of a phenomena, if they had released Tom Selleck from his contract for Magnum and he had actually been Indiana Jones as was originally planned, Chris? How would have that worked?
Yeah, it's really hard to imagine it, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, I love Tom Selleck, but it's hard. It's hard.
You know what? Honestly, I've tried many times to him. Every time I think about Tom Selleck in the part, I sit there and I try to imagine Tom Selleck as Indiana Jones, and it really just doesn't work. But at the end of the day, it's really hard to know because it just would have been a completely different series of films. And to imagine Tom Selleck in the role, I think is impossible because there's so much that would have to change, so much different. In order to prepare for this radio show, I watched a documentary from the era, from the time that they filmed Raiders, and I could see, I believe that Spielberg said that he called Lucas, and he said that they had brought in all these guys to audition for Indy, and he said nobody was even close. He goes, then Empire comes out. Yes. I'm sitting there, and I'm watching Empire, and I immediately call up George, and I go, George, I know who's going to be Indy. You know who's going to be Indy. He goes, yeah, no, I know what you're going to say. You're going to say Harrison.
Right.
He's like, yeah, I don't even have to tell you. So they knew just, you know, before they even asked. They knew from the beginning, I think. They just didn't want to do it. For some reason, George didn't, I guess because he had worked with Harrison so much. He just didn't want to rely on him like a crutch. Like, this is the guy that makes my films work. But, you know, actors are very powerful.
And to be, you know, honest here, he's quite a dick in private life. If you look at the interviews with Harrison Ford, he just doesn't give a crap. I mean, he just like, it's like the voiceover for Blade Runner. He just does not want to do anything more than the paycheck. He says yes, no, when he's asked questions. But watching these movies in the last couple of days, he's so good. I mean, even that moment from Temple of Doom as the spikes are coming down, just that line, we are going to die. I mean, there's not a good way to deliver that believably, but he really always steps up to the plate. He never phones it in, does he, Chris?
Well, I will say that there are certain faces, there are certain kinds of people who can deliver an overly dramatic line and it still seems a bit understated. Yeah. The way he goes, we are going to die inside the little thing, you know? he moves his whole face.
Yeah.
And it somehow it still seems understated. And I think that is a kind of just like a gift. You know, what are you going to do? I think in order to like being a dick and not caring, I think is part of what you need to be a leading man. Like, I think Bruce Willis is a little bit like this. He's like, what is acting? You know, acting's going on set, saying, playing make-believe.
Right.
He doesn't respect the acting profession. And actually, my favorite actors are actors that don't respect acting because they go on set. And I will tell you, most of the roles that I've gotten in Hollywood have been roles in which I went up to the audition and I thought, well, I don't think I'm going to get this. I'm not right for the part.
Right.
I just went in and
nervous. You were yourself and you got it, right?
Not just that, but there were instances when I literally was not right for the part. There's at least two I can remember off the top of my head. And they changed the character for me. They're like, we wanted an older guy, but you're so good. We're going to rewrite it.
That's why he's authentic. He's Mr. Reagan. Chris Coles, follow him, the Mr. Reagan channel on YouTube. We'll talk about his new venture momentarily, Mr. Reagan USA on Twitter. I'm Sebastian Gorka. If you enjoy this as much as we love providing it to you, make sure you are subscribed. Go to Spotify, plug in my name, Sebastian Gorka, America First. Never, ever miss an episode of Making Movies Great Again. And then don't forget, and leave us a 5-star review. It truly does help. And if you want any of our merchandise, it's so cool. It's almost Christmas. It's all made in America. Go to SebGorkaStore.com. That's SEBGORKA, SebGorkaStore.com. Go there right now. Stay with us for more Making Movies Great Again with me, Sebastian Gorka, and Chris Coles. Coles, Christmas will be upon us. We've just seen Thanksgiving. I hope you had a blessed, blessed Thanksgiving. What is your Christmas going to be like? For me, the memories of Christmas I have are always, they fill my heart, they warm me inside. I was spoilt rotten as an only child by my parents. If you have pleasant memories of Christmas as a child, can you imagine what it is like to celebrate Christmas and to feel good in yourself when one of your parents is missing? And not just traveling or away on business, but they're in prison. 1.5 million children in America have a mother or father behind bars this Christmas. 1.5 million. And 60% plus of them will end up in prison as well. We need to break that cycle. And that is the mission of the Prison Fellowship Program. Every year, we help these children. Last year, you donated enough to make Christmas better for 230,000 children. $25 provides them a Christmas gift from their incarcerated parent with a note of love that they are being remembered from that mother or father and a children's gospel. Will you help us, please? Let's get that number up to 300,000 this year. Let's see how many lives we can make better, how many Christmases we can make better. Please go today to my website and click on the Angel Tree Campaign banner at the very top. Donate as much as you can. $125 is 5 children whose Christmas will be a little bit better because of you. Or you can call in your donation, 888-206-2794. That's Angel Tree, 888-206-2794. Thank you to all of you who have already donated and to all of you who will. It's one of the most blessed things you can do this Christmas. Okay, before we go on, you mentioned you got very entertained last week, or you entertained yourself by Porkins, one of the Star Wars characters, who is in Raiders, right?
Is he? Oh, yeah, he is. Of course he is.
At the beginning, in the college.
He's one of the government agents.
One of the men from the ministry, from the, you know, the defense ministry, the Department of Defense. That's Porkins. Yeah, yeah.
That never clicked until this moment. That's amazing. Didn't either of you ever go to Sunday school?
And that guy's face, his colleague's face, looks like he's, you know, eaten a lemon when he asked him.
Yeah.
Such a superb scene. I mean, just the chalkboard, the headpiece of the staff of Ra, and then he opens the book, and magically that book with 2,000 pages opens on the page with the picture of the Ark, right? Just happens to open on that page. And
you know, that's the great thing about those movies. I've never thought about how what a a magical moment that is until just now. It didn't occur to me that that was weird. But, you know, back then, you know, in the 80s, that was kind of how things were done. You just did things for convenience sometimes. Yeah. But and you know, I'm watching this documentary, how they made it. They put so much work into it. They really loved the craft of filmmaking. You know, what's interesting about Raiders, in that documentary I watched, Steven Spielberg says that George Lucas wrote Raiders of the Lost Ark based on his own actual beliefs about what happened to the Ark. He wrote an adventure story around his own research about the Ark, believing that the Ark is available to be discovered somewhere.
Well, there is a theory that it is in Ethiopia. Have you followed that? Graham Hancock's book. There is a church in Ethiopia that says they have the Ark, and every year, mm-hmm. once a year, they bring it out and they have a parade, but it is covered, and only one man is ever allowed into the sanctum. Are you familiar with this?
I am, yeah. I've read about this, yeah.
All right. I want us to compare the movies to each other, but let's talk about best scenes. We're playing the truck convoy horse chase scene. What stands out for you from the first movie, Chris?
Oh, gosh. I don't know. I'm making this up as I go along.
I know, but I mean, isn't this one of the climactic moments, the under the truck?
That's a line. That's a line from the movie.
I know it is.
In fact, that's a line coming up right here.
No, just before he got on the horse.
Just before this. You're right.
He says it to Salah. And you always to have a Welshman play an Egyptian, right? It's essential.
he's fantastic.
Oh, he is. And what about...
It's hard to decide which scene is best because it really goes from like one amazing moment to the next during this film. There's not a lot of room to breathe. It's just it's either excitement or funny or fun.
And there's no moment where it goes flat.
Mm-mm. No. It's almost like music. It's almost like a song, right? It just flows into the next bit. And this was epic. When I was a kid watching this happen and you actually see the guy get run over, I don't remember a lot of instances when I was young in the 80s watching somebody get run over by a truck. So this is actually
But even that, there's a hint of hilarity because kind of jokey. It's his legs spring up as the truck crushes him. It's like a clown, you know, it's like the clown car at the circus and his legs pop up. So even the way they deal with that is such a deft touch.
Yeah. It's this nice balance. And that's the really great thing. I was growing up, films like this were fun. They were exciting. But they were also funny. And I think that we've lost that balance a lot. And it was really bizarre to me because you'd think that they had nailed it down so tightly in the 80s, the early 90s, and then they just kind of like lost it. And I just feel like it should have gotten better, but it didn't. It kind of got worse. And we have films that are, I feel like they're overly silly or they take themselves too seriously, and you just can't find the right balance that you found in films like these.
Let's go back one cut four. This is, you know, the notorious bizarre scene when allegedly, you know, everybody's got dysentery, everybody's sick except Spielberg because he eats out of, you know, tin cans in Tunisia or wherever they are. Harrison is too sick for the sword fight with the people kidnapping Marion. And so instead of having an extensive sword fight, he just pulls out the handgun and shoots him. This is, again, there's a touch of humor there, right?
Yeah. Beautiful, beautiful moment and kind of spur of the moment. There were scenes when they were shooting where Harrison Ford would just make jokes on set. So there's the scene where they're tied to the post. They got to close their eyes or else the Ark of the Covenant is going to burn them like it burned all the Nazis. And he's yelling at Marion, close your eyes, Marion, close your eyes. And apparently in the script, when they were shooting, Marion's going, I can't, I got to open my eyes. And after a couple of bickering back and forth, finally, Harrison Ford just goes, all right, fine, open them. and Spielberg's laughing at the camera. And he's like, okay, cut. We got it. You know? And so they were having fun. Apparently, this was shot in a real town in Tunisia.
Yeah.
But because it was the 80s and they were trying to make it look like 1937, I believe, something like that, there were no aerial antennas back then. And so they had to literally go around town talk to the people who own the houses and manually take down every antenna that town.
The so-called Cairo scene, when you see from Salah's house onto the whole city, they had to take down every stinking TV antenna.
Today, they would just do it digitally.
Right.
But back then, they physically had to go in, and of course, they'd be satellite dishes.
Yeah.
And they had to go in, and they had to physically, manually take them down. Amazing. Just the amount of work that it took to make a film back then, and these people were just, they were dedicated.
Oh, and utterly, utterly perfectionist. We're talking to Chris Coles. He is the father of the Mr. Reagan channel. You've got to subscribe right now on YouTube. You've got to follow him at Mr. Reagan USA on Twitter. He's got a brand new channel that we will discuss as well. In the meantime, don't forget, we are on all social media platforms by YouTube. You can follow us on Truth Social, on Twitter, on Facebook, on Instagram, on Rumble, on Clout Hub, on Getter, on Telegram. We are everywhere. Most important is our new Substack. Follow me right there. It's my name in one word, SebastianGorka.substack.com. That's SebastianGorka.substack.com. MyPillow is having their biggest sheet sale of the year. You all have helped build MyPillow into the amazing company that it is today. Now, Mike Lindell, my buddy, the inventor and CEO, wants to give back to my listeners. The Percal bed sheet set is available in a variety of colors and sizes, and they're on sale. For example, the queen size is regularly $89.98, but now for you, just $39.98 with your listener promo. Order now, because when they're gone, they're gone. The Percal sheets are breathable and have a cool, crisp feel. They come with a 10-year warranty and a 60-day money-back guarantee. Don't miss out on this incredible offer. It's a limited supply, so be sure to order now. Call 1-800-829-8468, promo code Gorka, or just go to mypillow.com, click on the radio listener square, and plug in G-O-R-K-A. That's 1-800-829-8468 or mypillow.com, code Gorka. We're back with Chris Coles, a.k.a. Mr. Reagan, making movies great again. Thank you to everyone who makes our shows possible. If you support our advertisers, then we can keep providing you with America First and making movies great again. Please support Mike Lindell. You know he's been targeted. He's under attack. The FBI came after him. Walmart has banned his goods. Get Christmas presents for your loved ones. Get a good night's sleep. He's got over 150 amazing products. Some great, great Christmas offers. BOGO offers. Use my name for up to 66% off. Let's support this great patriot. 72 million pillows sold. Absolutely stunning. Call today. The number is 800-829-8468. That's 800-829-8468. Or just go to mypillow.com. But you've got to use the code Gorka. That's mypillow.com. Promo code G-O-R-K-A. All right, while we play our final cut from Raiders as we move on to the Temple of Doom, talk to me.
Which is your favorite?
Yeah, well, I was going to ask you here. So for me, I love Grail. I find Temple, you know, when kids are being whipped, I kind of like, Spielberg, George, what are you doing here? And Raiders is just perfection. I mean, Raiders, as you said, it's like a symphony. The pieces just fit together. Yeah. So Raiders is the one. Let me answer it this way. Raiders is the one I could watch whenever. I mean, there's no time I would not want to watch it. I wouldn't say the same about Temple, for example. How about you?
No, I don't understand. There are some people who Temple of Doom, that is their favorite indie film. Wow. And I personally, I don't get it. Because
they must be creeps.
Yeah, they must be. There's value here. I mean, there's a lot of value in this movie. Apparently, the chase in the
mine
coal cars or whatever they were, the mine cars. This was supposed to be in the first film. They couldn't manage how to work it in.
Well, they ran out of money and time.
Is that what happened?
Yeah. They may have just written this entire film. Right.
They may have just written this entire film around that one stunt, you know, thinking, oh, this is cool. What are we going to do around this? But it does sort of harken back to those old serials from back in the day. So, you know, there is something valuable about it. There was a lot of copying of this kind of theme in the 80s. You saw a lot of other properties using this kind of theme after this. And it was a little creepy for sure. for me, Last Crusade is the funniest one, and therefore that's the one I can watch the most often, because I can watch anything with comedy over and over again as long as I forget the jokes. I don't have a long memory, so.
I will say, for Temple, there's one scene I can watch again and again and again, and it's the opening. I mean, Kate Capshaw's singing, you know, Anything Goes in Mandarin, the Busley Berkeley setup. I mean, that's just so much fun, Chris.
That's the James Bond scene. That's the homage to Bond. And I think I told you, I'm convinced after I rewatched The Spy Who Loves Me, I'm pretty sure that The Spy Who Loves Me heavily influenced both Raiders and Temple of Doom.
No, I buy it. I completely buy it. And one more thing I think is impressive. I mean, it's an impressive movie, all told. I watched again. I forgot. It was like day before yesterday when I watched this again. Mm-hmm. When they're angry with each other, when Willie and Indy are angry with each other, and they're having that kind of sexual frisson in her bedroom, the banter, you know, what would you study? Your nocturnal habits. It's bloody well done. The delivery is hilarious.
True. And, you know, Spielberg ended up marrying her, I believe,
yes.
Right?
And they're still married, Chris. I checked it out. They're a Hollywood marriage, and they are still flipping married. How about that?
That is impressive. And I've worked with her daughter. I used to do background acting. And I used to be on, I forget the show, Grey's Anatomy.
Uh-huh.
I used to do background
acting. Hang on, my wife and daughter love that. You're going to have to text me.
They've probably seen me walk around in the background.
You got to show me, you got to tell me which episodes. You got to text me, all right?
Oh, many years ago. I could never find, there's no way I could ever find myself. But I'm in plenty of episodes. I used to do that show all the time. But her daughter is in that show. And I will say, you know, I was on set with her several times. We spoke and, you know, chit-chatted in the halls and whatnot. An absolutely lovely human being. She's actually all right. She's one of the few good people in Hollywood, I would say, her daughter.
All right, I got to get a piece of trivia out here that is from my childhood. Do you know who Pat Roach is?
Mm-mm.
So Pat Roach is the 8-foot-tall monster who plays in the beginning of Raiders. He is the guy in the Nepalese bar the Nazis bring in who Marion bangs over the head with the log, right? Who's wearing a turban. Okay, that's his first role. Then in the same movie, he's the massive, bald airplane mechanic who gets killed by the propeller. That's Pat Roach. Same guy, two parts in the same movie. And in Temple, he's the giant Sikh guard that gets mashed up by the stone roller. Same guy, three parts.
That's amazing. Isn't that, I'm pretty sure that the left would call that blackface now and he'd be canceled.
And why do I know?
But what a magnificent, I didn't even realize.
And why do I know all this? Because Pat Roach was a wrestler when I was a kid in England. He was actually a wrestler. He's a famous wrestler who did, doubled up big, massive hulks. All right, I'm just living my life here. I'm enjoying Raiders, all three of them with my buddy Chris Coles. This is Making Movies Great Again on America First, coming to you from the ReliefFactor.com studios. Relief Factor, pain relief that works, pain relief that's real, pain relief that is liberating. 500,000 Americans right now, me included. There's only one way to find out for yourself if it could work for you. Order the 3-week quick starter pack at ReliefFactor.com. Right now. It'll be at your door in 3 days or less. Take it morning and evening like I do. And I promise you, Dr. G's guarantee, by the end of 2-3 weeks, you will know whether it works for you like it works for me and 500,000 of your fellow men. Let's call right now. 800-500-8384. ReliefFactor.com. ReliefFactor.com. Welcome back to Making Movies Great Again with me, Sebastian Gorka, and Chris Coles. All right, I can't believe how fast the time flies. We may have to dedicate one of our days. We may have to do 3 hours on one movie or one set of movies because it just flies too fast. All right, let us move on to the third and final movie in the Indiana Jones trilogy, which is, of course, The Holy Grail. You say this is the one that you enjoy the most because it's the most humorous.
Yeah, I can watch this. If it comes on television, I'll just keep watching it. I mean, who doesn't love the moment where Indy throws the guy off the plane and turns to everybody else and just goes, "No ticket." And everybody just pulls their tickets out like crazy. I mean, there's so many moments like that in this movie. And it really is. I mean, this is, and you got Sean Connery as his father.
Yes.
What perfect casting, the man who inspired Indiana Jones.
Although, allegedly, he didn't want to take the role because there's only like 13 or 14 years between them, and he didn't want to play his dad.
Yeah, right. Well, some people, I mean, you and I are the same age, and you look like you could be my dad.
who invited this guy? I mean, seriously, I give him a platform. I give him 3 million listeners. I give him some credibility, and he sits there and he just disses on me.
Hey, what did I call you at the beginning of the show? I said, this is the Han Solo to my Luke Skywalker.
Yes, but you didn't do it on air, and I told you you got to do it on air. All right, we've got the – let's go to cut three. This is kind of personal for me because when I was in Defense Department, I did counterterrorism training for military officers that were allied and partnered to the United States. And I'm going to say it right now, sorry. My best students outside of my American students were my Jordanian students, especially the counterterrorism battalion that looks after the king. Aref, if you're watching, General Aref, you know who you are, the best, the toughest, the smartest. And of course, I went to Jordan to visit my buddies. And this moment where they take Petra, which for some reason hadn't been too played out in movies, and they make this the resting place of the Valley of the Crescent Moon and the Holy Grail. What a beautifully done scene.
Yeah, absolutely brilliant. I mean, it is weird that this wasn't played out up until this point, but, they didn't have the technology back then. I mean, the world is so much smaller now. People don't really realize how, you've got the entire library of every book ever written right here. We're unbelievably lucky, and we don't realize that, you actually had to fly to this location, bring the whole set. Everything was done manually. There was nothing digital. So you had to find a beautiful set like this to shoot it. And what a magnificent place.
If you ever go, have you ever been to Jordan?
No, I've not.
If you go there, spoilers, guys, massive disappointment when you get, it's called the Treasury. It's actually called the Treasury, that building that the Nabatean Empire built in Petra. You go inside, and it's this tiny room full of trash. I mean, there's nothing in there. There's no building inside.
Just from the tourists,
building.
You mean?
Yeah, it's just stuff left by tourists. It's like a square room and dust on the ground. So stick to this part. And this scene with the various grails, Alison Doody, tricking her Nazi master, and then the immortal knight saying, "He chose poorly." I mean, that's pretty good. That's pretty good.
Not only that, just the idea of that is the cup of a carpenter.
Yes.
Just that idea was so revolutionary, such a brilliant moment in cinema. But then, of course, afterwards, if you really think about it, you think, you just find the cup that doesn't look like any of the other cups. If you think it through later, it actually doesn't make any sense.
And let's give credit to Allison, because I think she was 19 when she auditioned and she was like 20 when she played this. Pretty impressive.
Wow.
Pretty, and for a woman,
not
who,
just that, but absolutely stunningly beautiful woman
who has a pretty thick Irish accent in real life and did that Austrian accent pretty well.
I didn't know that. Wow, yeah, fantastic. Although she, apparently, according to the indications of the script, the character does sleep with both Indy and his father, which I find a little bit disturbing.
Well, she does talk in her sleep.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. I remember watching that as a kid going, yikes.
No, but the chemistry between them is really quite superlative, don't you think, between Harrison and Sean?
Oh, yeah. I mean, yeah, their interactions are always brilliant. The fact that Sean Connery plays something of a coward a little bit is you expect him to be James Bond.
Or a kind of pacifist.
A pacifist, exactly. And then, he does, of course, rise to the occasion as he needs to throughout the movie. But I would say, like, one of my favorite moments in any indie film, and Steven Spielberg says that he kind of regrets this because he took the whole kind of Nazi thing a little bit too lightly, he felt like, when he was younger. But it's a great moment when Indiana Jones bumps into Hitler, yes, and Hitler signs his book.
I'm curious because I missed that. What did Spielberg say, that he touched it too lightly or not enough or overdid it?
Yeah, because it's not that he is. I don't know if I should say he regrets it, but obviously he did Schindler's List.
Yes.
And when he did Schindler's List, you know, Spielberg being Jewish, having relatives, I believe, that were in the Holocaust. Uh-huh. Maybe that's not true, but he was, you know, he thought, okay, these are my people. I need to show respect, you know, through my work. Right. And of course, when he did Schindler's List, he absolutely did that. And I think maybe I felt like, I don't remember exactly what he said, but I've seen an interview where he does talk about the Indiana Jones moment. And that obviously didn't present the gravitas that maybe the Jewish people felt about the Nazis. But at the end of the day, come on. I mean, it's a moment in history that real life people did, you know, he had maids, he had people working for him, chauffeurs and stuff like that. You know, these people weren't necessarily bad people, right? They just happened to live in that part of the world at that time. And so not every little moment of everybody's life during that time was just pure evil. You know, it doesn't have to always be like that. And we need to find the funny moments in tragedy, I feel.
Well, and also there was a very powerful juxtaposition in that scene, which lasts, what, maybe 3 or 4 minutes, when he, you know, tracks her down, tracks the Nazi historian down to Berlin. And the first thing you see is the pile of books being burned. So it's not comedy for the sake of comedy. You're going to a Nazi book burning, and then you just happen to bump into Hitler. We're talking to Chris Coles, a.k.a. Mr. Reagan. Please subscribe right now to his YouTube channel. Follow him on Twitter. It's Mr. Reagan USA. I'm Sebastian Gorka. This is Making Movies Great Again, coming to you from the America First ReliefFactor.com studios, just outside the insalubrious, fetid, rank, malodorous swamp that is Washington, D.C. If you're in daily pain, if you've tried everything else and failed to find relief, please do what I did. Try Relief Factor. It's not just me. It's 500,000 people. It's people like Yvonne from California. This is Yvonne's story. Both my husband and I are in our 70s and are so grateful to have found Relief Factor. We tried so many other solutions, but none of them have given us the freedom of being pain-free like Relief Factor. Just those two words, pain-free, should be reason enough for you to order the 3-week quick starter pack for the paltry sum of $19.95 today at relieffactor.com. It'll be at your door in 3 days or less. Take it morning and evening like I do. And I promise you, Dr. G's guarantee, by the end of those 3 weeks, you will know whether it works for you like it works for me, Yvonne, and 500,000 of your fellow Americans. You deserve to know. You've waited long enough. What have you got to lose? Well, except for the pain. Call now, 800-500-8384, relieffactor.com. That's 800-500-8384, relieffactor.com, relieffactor.com. We'll be back with Chris in a moment. Welcome back to Making Movies Great Again. Very exciting. Tell us about your new venture. I think it may have something to do with this current endeavor. Is that true?
Yeah. I mean, for about 2 years now, I've been thinking about doing a channel where I do talk about movies and TV shows and stuff like that. And
some inspiration from this more sagacious elderly gentleman. Is that right?
I've had a lot of people talking to me recently about this. Coincides with our starting this show. And in fact, you're talking about how much you loved Andor, the new show Andor.
Yeah.
I hated Andor. Mm-hmm. And that's unusual that you and I disagree so much about a particular project. So I thought, I have to explain why I don't like this. And this is a great first episode for my new channel. So I've got a whole new channel, and it's called Alpha Critic. And in Alpha Critic on YouTube, I'm going to be reviewing everything that comes up. I'll be talking about Star Wars. I'll be talking about all the new stuff that comes out.
But the first episode is on Andor, and it's already on YouTube.
That's right. I posted it this morning.
Beautiful. All right. I can't wait. What a great title. Alpha Critic. I'm going to watch it. Then I'm going to lambast him on Twitter in front of my 1.2 million followers for trashing Andor. Nobody will subscribe to his account ever again, and he will apologize publicly on his YouTube channel. Okay, let's cut to the chase. next movie. What are we doing, dude?
Wow. Okay. All right. Well, you didn't want to do Back to the Future. I felt that was the natural next project.
I'm not a big, doesn't excite me. People, you know, say Zemeckis wrote the best script ever. I just don't buy it. Pick something that's really close to your heart or you think hasn't got requisite recognition.
Oh God. Well, I haven't thought about it. Have you been thinking about it? What have you been thinking about?
Well, look, there's all kinds of things. I just saw, I don't think we should delve into this, but while you're thinking, I was on Pluto, which is my new kind of default because it has, you know, it has classic movie channels. I love documentaries.
Sure,
it's got a Doctor Who channel. It's like when my wife goes to bed at 9 o'clock and I'm up till 2 a.m. I'm watching Doctor Who from the 1970s as a child. And then Sleepless Night, I come over the Classics channel, and I must have seen this when I was a kid. They had the Battle of Britain movie. Incredible. Laurence Olivier, Michael Caine. I mean, just a stellar cast. Christopher Plummer. And then no CGI, of course, because it's 1978 or something. Produced by Harry Saltzman of the James Bond fame. And they've actually got Spitfires and Nazi Messerschmitts. And I'm going, how the flip did they do this?
I've never seen this movie. I'll have to watch this. Tell you what. I think I figured out what we need to do next.
All right, I've given him enough time. I gave
Christmas
enough time.
Is coming up.
Yes.
What is the most controversial Christmas film of all time?
Die Hard!
That would be the one.
Dude, nailed it. All right.
Yippee-ki-yay.
So are we going to limit ourselves to just one? Yes. We can talk a bit
enough
so. About...
I mean, the first one is the iconic...
Yes.
One.
Two, yeah, two's not bad, but let's devote because he deserves it. Bruce deserves it, and let's just put it in here. Who was meant to play the character originally?
Oh, I think I do know this, but I don't remember.
It's really weird because they bought the rights back in the 1960s to a novel. The book, the film is based upon a novel they bought back in the 60s.
I have heard this, but why don't you just go ahead and break it to
Frank
me.
Sinatra.
That's right. That is right.
All right, that's enough. No more. No teasers. I'm Sebastian Gorka. This has been Making Movies Great Again. Tune in next week for Die Hard.
Our fathers brought forth upon this continent a new nation, conceived in liberty and dedicated to the proposition that all men are created equal.
I know not what course others may take, but as for me, give me liberty or give me death.
The world will little note or long remember what we say here, but it can never forget what they did here.
I have a dream. Ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country.
Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall.
I can hear you. The rest of the world hears you. And the people... And the people who knocked these buildings down will hear all of us soon.
And we will make America great again.
This is America First with Sebastian Gorka.
We're going to use the power of subpoena. We're going to use the power of the purse. And we're going to come after Mayorkas, and he needs to go. We need to make an example of Mayorkas, and he'll be just the start of what we do in this new Congress. But he's absolutely got to go. He's been a complete, absolute disaster. And he has been the lead on making this happen, the border being the disaster that it is. Let's make no mistake about it. This could not be happening without Biden. Biden and Mayorkas, they are the traffickers in chief right now.
The traffickers in chief. That is Congressman Ronnie Jackson, former physician to President Trump. And I'm Sebastian Gorka, your host here on America First. It is great to be back in the saddle. I hope you had a blessed, blessed Thanksgiving and a long weekend. The whole team is back. It's shocking. Everybody's here today. We have so much to cover for you. It looks like Elon Musk has declared war on Apple. And it looks like the people of China have had enough with the communist regime that has lorded it over them since 1948. Our number here, to sound off on the issues of the day is 833-33-GORKA. That's 833-334-6752. First, let's deal with a story that maybe I shouldn't be talking about because it's kind of died a death. I didn't even clear it with Mr. G. Does he trust me to talk about it? He's going to leave that phone and he's going to tell me right now. Mr. G, in the pre-show meeting, we didn't discuss the infamous dinner at Mar-a-Lago. What do you think? Should I talk about it or not?
You got to.
I got to. All right. I have my permission. I've got my green light. So what happened? It was reported, thanks to a surreptitious phone camera photograph. It's a private club, guys. You shouldn't be taking photographs in Mar-a-Lago. Nobody does that. Nobody takes selfies with the president of Mar-a-Lago. Am I right? That President Trump had dinner with Kanye, I don't care what he calls himself now, Kanye West, who had in tow in his entourage that very peculiar individual, Milo Yiannopoulos, and somebody I hoped we'd never have to mention again on my show, an individual who is despicable, who probably has mental issues, who goes by the name of Nick Fuentes, who is a Holocaust denier and who is the worst of the worst. If there is a fringe of the conservative movement, it is the likes of Nick Fuentes. And apparently it was tweeted out that Kanye West had dinner with President Trump at his private club in Palm Beach, along with Nick Fuentes and Milo Yiannopoulos. Since then, the president has clarified the matter, and he has stated that he was having dinner by himself when Kanye West came up to talk about his running, Kanye's running for the presidency, and had in tow with him none other than Milo Yiannopoulos and Nick Fuentes, the Holocaust denier. Much hullabaloo has been made of this. Individuals saying, oh my gosh, Trump had dinner with, well, I don't know, he's a black guy, so you can't call Kanye white supremacist, but with Holocaust denier Nick Fuentes. Well, sitting at dinner and having somebody come up to you is a little bit different, isn't it? But I think there's a better angle to all of this. And Julie Kelly summarized it perfectly in a tweet of hers recently. She said, and I'm just paraphrasing, darling, you know, if I had the tweet in front of me, I'd read it completely accurately. But she said something like, a dinner? Really? Are you serious, guys? Southern borders open, revolution breaking out in China, war in Ukraine. Oh, it was to do with the prisoners, I think. She said something like, DOJ, FBI hunting down and imprisoning MAGA supporters, and you're talking about dinner at Mar-a-Lago? Now, let me be clear here. Nick Fuentes, if he's not psychotic, I mean, if he's not in control of his faculties, as far as I'm concerned, he will burn in hell. Unless he repents, unless he apologizes for saying what he has said on his channels before they were cancelled, for saying there's no way Hitler killed so many people and you couldn't even bake 6 million cookies that quickly. He actually said that on a video. He said you couldn't even bake 6 million cookies in an oven in 6 years. So how did Hitler kill 6 million Jews? This is how reprehensible, heinous, filthy, just scum like Nick Fuentes is. How a young man born in America is that anti-Semitic? Beggars belief, it boggles my mind. But despite that fact, when he fanboys out on President Trump at his club, being towed along by Kanye West, who likewise has clearly some psychological issues, I don't really care. Because I know President Trump doesn't know Nick Fuentes from a hole in the ground. And he was, because I know him, being polite to Kanye. Why? Because you know what Kanye did for all his reprehensible statements since then? He went to the White House. He sat in front of the Resolute desk. He put on a MAGA hat. He embraced the America First, I'm not a victim, I love America ideology. When as a black man, even a billionaire, but as a black man, not an easy thing to do. Not an easy thing to do. So President Trump was being polite to a man he recognized. But here's the issue. I don't care. Why? Because what I really care about is that we have political prisoners rotting in moldy, solitary cells right now within 3 miles, 2.5 miles of where I'm sitting in Washington, D.C. People who didn't kill anybody, didn't steal anything, people who have no criminal record, people who were honorably discharged from the military, some of whom were cancer patients, denied their treatment simply because they stepped inside Congress on January the 6th, or didn't step inside Congress, but were charged anyway with obstructing an official proceeding. That's the problem in America, not who's having dinner at which table in Mar-a-Lago. The problem is we have political prisoners in America. The people of China are pushing back on the oppression. We have freedom here, ostensibly in America. And the party that is being persecuted, or the members of which are being persecuted, is doing nothing. God bless Ronnie Jackson. I hope they impeach. I hope they charge Mayorkas with aiding and abetting the cartels, because he and Biden have blood on their hands for the people who have already died in the last 2 years trying to get into the greatest nation on God's green earth. Dinner at Mar-a-Lago? I couldn't care less. Political prisoners, 2 miles from this studio. Yeah, that's what matters. 110,000 Americans no longer alive because of what China has smuggled into our country, and they've overdosed on it. That's what I care about. How about you? Call board is absolutely full. We're going to have a guest talking to us for just a moment. And then we're going to get to Nancy, Phil, Johnny, Judy, and Glenn. Don't go anywhere. I'm Sebastian Gorka. Subscribe right now. Go to Spotify. Plug in my name, America First. Never miss our one-on-one discussions. Leave us a 5-star review. Share the links with your friends, because it's up to us to save the Republic. And check out the latest, the most popular item at our website is the new FBI t-shirt created jointly with Chris Plant. FBI, Fascist Bureau of Intimidation. Get yours, SebGorkaStore.com.
Three-star General Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.